Nate Diaz, are you an MMA fan if you are not rooting for Nate Diaz when he faces Khamzat Chimaev? That's the question. I think that's the question that's really facing a lot of people right now. And here's what I think is happening with Nate Diaz as his fight with Khamzat Chimaev approaches. First of all, everyone seems to be against him. The UFC pundits and UFC fighters seem to be concerned with his safety and his future. And the UFC seems to want him to be destroyed, quote-unquote destroyed, on his way out the door. And the odds are stacked against him. And let's look at these topics one by one when it comes to Nate Diaz. So I'm going to go over what the pundits and fighters had to say. First was Dan Hardy. He said, "It feels like we're getting to the point where someone should start thinking about pressing charges. It doesn't feel like a fair fight. It feels like a very, very cruel thing to do to someone that is a legitimate legend. Because they've spoken out against the organization, they're going to get executed live on TV. That's kind of how it feels, and it makes me feel uncomfortable to think that's the way it's going to go down." Daniel Cormier added, "I just think these guys are in different points of their careers right now, and I do believe it's a mismatch." Leon Edwards said of Diaz, "He's done so much for the company, and I wish they gave him a veteran, a nice fight to bow out to. To give an up-and-coming guy that's had four or five fights in the UFC and a wrestler guy as well, I think they fucked up. They should have given him a better fight." Michael Chandler said, "I think Diaz is going to be outmatched in pretty much every aspect of the game." And this is all well and good. I understand all those talking points. But I don't know if it's really that big of a concern. Nate Diaz had an option to not accept this fight. He could have waited for Conor McGregor. He decided that he wanted this fight. So obviously he believes that he can beat Khamzat Chimaev. I don't share that belief, but I don't think that it's going to be as bad as it seems here. I know Nate Diaz will probably have Nick in his corner, and we know Nick cares about his brother a great deal, and that I think if things get out of hand, I don't think Nick Diaz is going to be afraid to throw the towel. In fact, I forget what fight it was, but Nick Diaz did throw the towel in one of Nate's fights before. Now that towel throwing coincided with the time the fight got stopped. But Nate Diaz cares a great deal about his brother, and Nick Diaz cares a great deal about his brother, and he's not going to allow Nate to take an inordinate amount of abuse. I just don't see that happening. Now, the UFC is seeming to want to send Diaz out on a down note. That's 100% what's happening here, I think. I think the UFC wants to, and this is historical fact, the UFC tries to send big-name fighters out that are going to explore free agency on a down note. And it's going to try and do that with Nate Diaz. And so it wants Khamzat Chimaev to send Diaz out with a loss, a bad loss, which will decrease his value on the open market. In the eyes of the UFC, that is, I don't think that's realistic. I think Nate Diaz has established himself as a legitimate draw and a fighter who will earn a great deal of money no matter what he does, no matter who he signs with. I don't think the UFC has the capability in this case to lose Nate Diaz any money on the open market. And I just don't think that's going to happen no matter what happens, the outcome of this fight. But the UFC does want to send him out on that down note. The UFC does want Khamzat Chimaev to beat him badly. And there's no way around that. That Diaz accepted this fight doesn't mean that that's not true. It is true. And you can't argue against that. The odds are stacked against Diaz a great deal here. Chimaev is a minus 1,600 favorite. Diaz is a plus 800 underdog. Now, all this is to say, does Nate Diaz have a chance to win? I mean, I would not put money on Nate Diaz. Even at plus 800, I would not put money on Nate Diaz. But he has a chance because he can take a lot of punishment, and he can recover, and he has the ability to be a wily veteran and surprise us. I don't think that's going to happen, but the chance is there. And so, because of all this, because of how badly things are stacked against Nate Diaz, I don't think anyone should be really rooting against Nate Diaz here. I mean, you can root for Chimaev, but in the back of your mind, you have to at least be a little bit on Nate Diaz's side, because there's no way to see it any other way. The UFC has given him the short end of the stick here. A Conor McGregor fight would have been a better fight to send him out on. Would he have won? I don't know, but there's no, but it would have been a more fair fight, a more evenly matched fight, and it would have been a bigger draw. But it is what it is. Nate Diaz wants to get out of his contract before Conor McGregor is going to be ready, and this is the fight he's got. This is the fight he's accepted. I don't think, just because of what I said about his brother, I don't think he's in in grave danger here. He's obviously in danger because every fighter's in danger, but I think with Nick in his corner, the safety of Nate is going to be okay. We just have to accept that fighting is fighting, and it's inherently dangerous. I don't think this fight is any more inherently dangerous than any other fight. I think people are playing that up just because of how badly the UFC wants Nate Diaz to lose. But I don't think he'll be great. I think he'll be okay. And I think that if things get a little gnarly, I think Nick Diaz will throw the towel. But you really need to root for Nate Diaz in this fight in many ways, in just because of how badly things are stacked against him. So the question, are you an MMA fan if you're not rooting for Nate Diaz? I don't think you are really. Root for Nate Diaz against Khamzat Chimaev. Dan Hardy, in speaking up here about Nate Diaz, also spoke up about how he sees the UFC and what it is doing to a veteran like Diaz and how it's sending him out the door. And while Dan Hardy's outspokenness against the UFC is commendable, it's also easily dismissed by the UFC because they can just say, well, this guy is a former UFC contractor, a former UFC worker who is no longer getting that check from the UFC. And so he's just a bitter ex-UFC worker. Is that true? I don't think that's true. Not 100%. I think Dan Hardy got shafted by the UFC, and he should still be working for the UFC. But I don't think it's 100% true that he is a angry former employee. What I do think is that if these folks like Hardy and the other UFC former UFC fighters that are speaking out, I think they're easily dismissed. I also think that once the calls are coming from outside the building, so to speak, those calls are easily dismissed by the UFC. What we need to see happen here is the calls need to come from inside the building. And here's what Hardy had to say about the UFC. I feel unfortunate that it's happening. I think we can't celebrate these fighters when they're coming to the end of their career, but it's the UFC style, isn't it? If they decide they're parting ways with you, they try to damage you in every way possible. Unfortunately, if you're a fighter and they want to damage you, they can actually physically do it, which is a shame. Again, I'm not saying that Hardy is wrong. I think he's right, but he is going to be looked at as a disgruntled former worker for the UFC. So to make change, the calls need to come from inside the house, and by that I mean we need active UFC fighters, active UFC commentators, active UFC staff to speak up when something is wrong. And then that's how change gets made. Change gets made from the inside a lot easier than change gets made from the outside. We see how slow this process is from the outside. We're not really making much progress at all in changing the UFC from the outside. So we need voices from inside the UFC to really make some change. And that includes the UFC Access Media. I think that includes the UFC Access Media a lot more than it includes the UFC fighters. UFC fighters can, the UFC can deal with them. Is that fair? No, but we know that that's what happens. But the access media, what can UFC do to them? They can take away their access? So what? We know now in 2022, you do not need access to cover a UFC event. You just don't. Maybe a video person needs it, but there's enough access to the UFC going-ons around the event that you don't need to be there to cover the events. And the UFC access media really needs to step up its game here and be more critical of the UFC and try and make some change within the UFC. Because really, what are they doing but other than being an unpaid PR arm for the UFC? You're not doing anything. You're trading your integrity more or less for access. It's not a good look. And by now, if the UFC cuts off access, well, that's another bad look for the UFC. Could they do it? Sure, they do it all the time. But in the big picture, outside of video, there is really no use. There's really no requirement. There's really no need to have someone with access to the UFC and to trade your integrity as a quote-unquote media member for access, I think it's a bad look. So that's something that folks have to weigh. But for really, if we want to see change, we need the Dan Hardys to speak up, but we also need the people that are still getting a check from the UFC to speak up, and we also need the UFC access media to speak up. These are the only ways that our changes are really going to happen, and that's really the reason that change is so slow right now, is because it's mostly only outside the building that people are criticizing the UFC. And like I said, those people are easily dismissed by the UFC. Hamzat Chimaev was critical of Israel Adesanya, and it really sounds like this criticism could have came directly from the mouth of Dana White. And here's what he said. I don't know what's happening with him. Last time, speaking of Adesanya's quote-unquote boring fight with Jared Cannonier, he fights better before. Now, maybe he's not that hungry. He's driving crazy cars, and he has a lot of money, and it makes some people change. When you're hungry, you fight crazy like you did before. Now, I don't know. He just makes the points and wins the fights. It's boring. This is like I said before, this is a bad take. If Israel Adesanya loses the title, he'll get kudos from folks who like quote-unquote crazy fights, but he won't get paid for that. Maybe he'll get a $50,000 fight of the night bonus, but when you look at what he's making as a champion compared to what he would be making as a non-champion, he stands to lose somewhere around $1 million a fight once he loses that belt, because he'll lose $300,000 in pay and somewhere in the range of $200,000 to $600,000 in pay-per-view points each fight he is not the champion. That's a lot of money. And so Israel Adesanya's job is right now is not to fight crazy, is not to take risks. His job as UFC champion is to hold on to that belt as long as possible, win as many fights as possible as the champion, and keep cashing those big checks. Once he's not champion, maybe he can take some more chances. Maybe he can take some more risks. Maybe he needs to do that to get back to a title when he loses his belt. Maybe he'll do that. But right now, there's no benefit for fighting crazy other than maybe a $50,000 bonus. But when you draw that $50,000 up against potentially $1 million, that's an easy decision to make. You fight to win as a champion and keep the title. Anything else is silly and there's no benefit for it. The job description of a UFC champion, if it was written, would be keep the title as long as possible, not entertain as many people as you can. I'm sorry, you might not like that, but that's the facts. And if Hamza Chimaev becomes champion, I'm going to be curious to see if his style changes, even in a little bit. Even if he fights a little more disciplined and a little more safe. Things really change once you become a champion because the big money comes in. And that's the only time the big money comes in, when you're a UFC fighter, when you're the champion. And so holding on to the title, that's your main focus. Anything else, I wouldn't worry about in the least if I was a UFC fighter. LIV Golfing is in the news a lot these days because it's more or less the idea was that it was going to be a competitor to the PGA. The reality is that it's a sports washing attempt from the Saudi Arabian government, who is bankrolling the LIV Golf for the most part. And so what I was thinking about here is, we often hear from Dana White that if you don't like how the UFC pays its fighters, you should go out and start your own MMA organization and pay them whatever you want. Now, that's not feasible. It's not feasible for really anyone outside of the Saudi government. And so if they wanted to, and this is a hypothetical, if they wanted to do to MMA what they're doing to LIV Golf and competing with the PGA, they definitely could do that with the UFC. And so the question then becomes, would this be worth supporting if you were a UFC fan, a UFC fighter? Would being part of a sports washing opportunity from the Saudi government be something you could get behind? To look at the facts here about money, the LIV Bedminster tournament, which is going on now, I think, that has a prize pool of $25 million. All eight of the LIV majors this year have a prize pool of $25 million each. The highest paying PGA event was the U.S. Open at $17.5 million. And next year, the LIV tournament is going to go up to 14 events, and the prize pool is going to be $405 million. And so say the government, the Saudi government says, we're going to do what we did with golf to MMA, and we're going to offer the best of the best these exorbitant amounts to participate in our MMA promotion. Would you support that as a fan? Would you hold it against the fighters that get involved? And it's really a tough philosophical question, because in golf, what we're seeing in golf, and there's pushback in golf, is that the already wealthy, someone like Phil Mickelson, is going to get more wealthy playing on their LIV. And then the question becomes, how much wealth do you need? In MMA, you don't see that. In MMA, if there'll be a LIV MMA and offered life-changing money for MMA fighters, which the UFC does not do outside of a very few champions, would that be worth supporting? And I'm not sure, because we're already involved in some sports washing in MMA where we kind of turn a blind eye to it. And that's not to say that sports washing doesn't get a blind eye turned to it to begin with. And a lot of people are doing that with LIV. A lot of people did that with China, with the Olympics, with Russia, with the World Cup. There's a lot of ignoring sports washing already going on. And so would it be an issue if this happened in MMA? And I would like to say I wouldn't support it. I mean, right now I'm going to tell you I wouldn't support it because it's not a reality. But say it becomes a reality, would I support it? I don't think I would support it, but would I understand a fighter going after that kind of money because it's not being offered currently and they could change their lives, change the lives of their family, change the lives of generations of their family? Would I hold that against a UFC fighter, an MMA fighter? Probably not, because we already know there's some pretty nasty things that go on in MMA promotion now. I don't think there'd be that much of a difference between now between what we see now and what we would see with a Saudi-backed MMA promotion. Now, it's a dicey situation when you look at human rights violations, but we're already kind of in that boat in how some of the Fight Island promotion went down and what was involved in building those stadiums and building those arenas. We're already kind of inside that sports watching bubble in the UFC now. So I think that we've already ignored it a little bit. And we definitely ignored it with some of the folks that who are involved with UFC fighters. We've definitely ignored it there. And so would I hold that against a fighter? I would like to, I mean, I can tell you I would, but I would probably be lying because these fighters are being taken advantage of by the UFC. And for the opportunity to make generational wealth, I think that I don't, I'd like to think that I would say no, I don't like it. I mean, I will say no that I don't like it, but I would say no that I don't support it. But what I say is so and so is a bad, evil person for taking this opportunity. I'd like to think I would, but I don't know if I could, just knowing what I know about MMA now. And I'm not seeing all that big of a difference here between what's going on with some of the backdoor dealings that the UFC does and with the sports washing, because UFC is already involved with sports washing. And so to get more involved, but to benefit the fighters, I think we're already there. So it's, yeah, this is a real confusing thing. And I don't know, I really don't know what I would do, how I would react if it happened. It's a nasty situation all the way around. There's no winners here. I mean, you could say the fighters are winners because they would be making more money, but they'd be making more money at the expense of being involved with sports washing. So it's ugly. It would be ugly. It would be uglier. So I don't really know, but if someone said, "Hey, Live MMA is taking place," I would have a lot to say about it. I would hope that people wouldn't jump ship, but I could also understand because, hey, this is an opportunity to change my life, change my children's life, change their children's life for doing what I'm already going to be doing. Instead of the UFC making the money, I'll be making the money now. So it's real weird. It's a weird situation, and it's a lot we would have to think about and a lot we would have to discuss. And right now, thinking about it, I'm torn. I'm really torn. I would like to say I would not support it. I would like to say I would not understand it. But I'm just all over the place right now with this just because of how much it would benefit the fighters. And that's just the reality of it because the UFC, the fighters are already getting taken advantage of. I don't know. It's just an ugly, ugly situation. But I think it's a much different situation with the golf because golf, you're turning a blind eye to it and you're already wealthy. Fighters are not even well off. At best, they're middle class. And so that adds that more difficult conversation to this. So I'd really like to hear what people have to think, what have to say and what they think about this. If Live MMA happened, would you support it? Or would you be torn like me? Or would you just say, no, I would not have anything to do with this or the fighters that got involved with it? And so I'd like to hear about it. Opinions, takes, whatever. Difficult philosophical questions.